Welcome to the Dream Freedom Beauty Podcast.
Amelia Vogler is a healer, intuitive, and mentor with a strong base in healing touch, spiritual physics, and energetic and clinical anatomy and physiology. On today's show, Amelia shares the story of how her struggle with chronic migraines eventually led her to leave her job in corporate America and start her own healing practice. We talk about how Amelia connected with her mentors, rediscovered her intuition, and found ways to grow into a life aligned with her heart's sense of purpose.
We're your hosts, sisters Natalie
and Lizzie Ross.
Dream Freedom Beauty is a podcast for free spirits who yearn to connect deeply with their intuition and manifest their dream lives in harmony with the earth.
You can find the podcast show notes at dreamfreedombeauty.com.
Welcome to the show, Amelia. We are so excited to have you here today.
Thank you, Lizzie and Natalie. I'm so happy to be here with you this morning.
Awesome. So for years, you suffered from debilitating migraines that would sometimes land you in the hospital. And it's actually been 10 years since you've had that problem. How did you get rid of your migraines?
Oh, that's a good question. Those migraines were something that plagued me really terribly ever since I was a little girl. And I have these memories of throwing up in parking lots or being rushed to the hospital so that I could stabilize my body. And they would give me really strong medication that would really do a lot of damage to my sense of self and well-being. And these migraines, they would come like once a quarter without any warning at all. And when I was in my late 20s, I was working at a really high-powered job at IBM, and I was beginning to understand stress as a real force in my body. I wasn't sleeping well, and it was just beginning to unravel a little under the pressures of what I thought were just my current day-to-day demands in my job. And I had a friend who said to me, I thought this was so funny, he said to me, I think you should go get an appointment with the lady that I know in Raleigh. She puts a bunch of rocks on you and holds your feet, and then she does some work around your body, but she doesn't touch you at all. And I was sold. I was like, yeah, pile the rocks on me, don't touch me, hold my feet. That sounds exactly like what I needed. And you know, it sounded better than the hospital. It sounded better than medication. But I think there was a transmission in that moment, an invitation maybe that drew me into the work of that woman. There was definitely an inner knowing that I acknowledged as important. And so I went, and I was looking around her office for the rocks, like where are the big rocks? And I don't see any of the big rocks, but I see all of these different tiny little crystals and stones and ancient rocks and fossils. And she had singing bowls, and she had, I mean, her office was magical. And this was the first magical office I had ever been in. And in that first appointment, she held my feet, just like my friend said, she held my feet, and something happened to me. And I was able to go free of my body for a while. I was connected to my spirit. I was able to fall deep, deep, deep in within the container of my body, my wisdom body. And I think I was sleeping. And when I woke up, it was like all of the sensitivity that I had as a young child in energy medicine or in the energies or spiritual gifts, they kind of started flooding back to me in that moment. And it was like the gifts, my spiritual gifts and my intuitive nature had returned me to me, and I was remembering myself. And it was such an astounding moment where I realized that there was something more to me than my day-to-day job, my stress, my going to the grocery store, the tides and rhythms of my daily habits. And I booked up with her every other week for several months, and I just kept going deeper and getting more connected. And that woman, her name was Sally, and today is actually her birthday. Huh.
Happy birthday, Sally.
Happy birthday, Sally. she allowed me to connect to that bigness of myself. And over those months, I looked back and I saw that I hadn't had a migraine and I hadn't had one of those headaches. And I took a little time. She invited me to do some work and integrate and process some of the energy shifts that I was making in my own life. And I was really concerned. I was thinking that perhaps my migraines would come back. So I took a month off. I just was, and I just worked in my life, and my migraine didn't come back. But I continued to see her over time, and I realized, you know, a half a year later, the migraines, they haven't come back. And then a year later, and then 2 years later, and then 3 years later, and then all the way until now, I haven't had a migraine since then. And I dedicate part of my practice to working with people with migraines because I've done such personal work in that space, and I've learned some things about migraines. And if you'd like, I could share with you a little bit about the patterns of migraines. I thought that might be interesting.
Yeah, sure.
Yes, please.
Okay, so migraines in the energy system seem to have a couple different roots. Like, one of the things I look for, and I'm offering this for those people who are listening who might be able to inquire in their own inner, in the expression of their own inner balance, like, is this something that might be contributing to my own headaches? So one of the things I look for is balance in the energy field between the top part of the energy field and the bottom part, because a lot of times our stressful energies get pushed up towards our more thinking aspects, the top of the field. And then there's a lack of balance in how the energy is flowing freely between the top and half, bottom half of the body. And then there also sometimes is a story around root chakra energies or safety and security. There sometimes tends to be some energies that kind of arrive up in those areas and those stories that contribute to migraines reappearing in people's lives. And then there's also a really interesting energy pattern that's identified and worked with in the healing touch modality, and that's the expression of a spike. It's a migraine spike that pushes the etheric body, or like our the energy body associated with the root chakra or our overall physical functioning. It gets pushed way out like a unicorn spike. And that physical expression of our energy actually goes so far out, it doesn't have the buffer of the other levels of the energy system, like as if it was in its normal expression. And so it actually makes people experience the world in a very, very physical way, very, very strongly. So you think of migraines and how they present. People can't see light. You know, they're real sensitive to lights. They're incredibly sensitive to sound. And that's because there's a part of them that's literally touching the world in a very raw place. And so we can work with the pulling down those spikes and working them down so that you have the container of your energy system in this really beautiful buffer. But since, you know, and you know, studying those migraines and studying my own life, that's just an area where I have really, really deep love. And I talk to people about my experience with them, and it offers people a lot of hope, I think, because migraines are something that many, many people have and suffer from. And I use the word debilitating on my website, and I struggle with it because it sounds marketing-y and kind of fear-based, but it's actually, they are debilitating when you get them. So I felt like that was a really honest languaging of what those headaches can do if they're in your life.
Definitely. Everyone I've ever known who's gotten migraines would describe them as debilitating. I mean, they have to go lie down and be totally away from any stimulation.
Yeah, they take you out of your life.
Yeah.
And that's just, it took me out of my life. And Once I acknowledged how precious this time on Earth was, it was like, it became really important for me to give back in that space.
Wow. So can you, just curious, can you work with people from a distance or only in person, or how does that work? Like, say someone's listening and they're like, oh my God, I have migraines. I need your help.
Oh yeah, absolutely. The remote energy, I do it a little bit differently than I would if someone was in person. But it's absolutely the same work, you know, and I just offer people a lot of different choices as to whether they want to stay on the phone with me, or if they want me to call them back, or do they want me to work at an appointed time, perhaps when they're sleeping. I have some clients in Australia, and so when I'm awake, they're asleep, so it makes more sense for me to work while they're sleeping, and I write up notes for my remote sessions so people can kind of go back and have some reflective time on what was done, and we do some process and work. But yeah, absolutely, because we are all energy, you know, our bodies are energy, we're not solid, we are actually always vibrating, and there's a ton of space between ourselves, and so in that almost fixed vibration of our physical body, that means we can be anywhere, which means you can be in Australia, but you can also be in front of me on the table in your energy body.
Wow.
So
cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's cool.
Really cool.
Yeah, I teach a little segment on distance healing, and people are always astounded because we do a really cool method. Like, I invite people to practice this if they're working, where you get a massage table and you have somebody sit in the chair facing away from the massage table, and you have a friend or a partner laying on the table, and you actually work on them from sitting on the chair with your hands in front of you, not on the person, and the person's right there to tell you, I can feel you touching my ankle.
How fun. Wow.
It's so much fun. Yeah, it's like remote distance playtime. So
that's awesome.
It's awesome.
So this is a oh, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say that I think it makes us realize that there's more to us than what we can see, because we can only see like 0.2% of what's available out there in the world. Like, our sense of sight is so limited, so our perception is really skewed around that.
I really feel that. I think about that often and wonder about that other, you know, like 99.80%, and what does it look like? And so this is a long way. It's 10 years ago when you were working for IBM, and you had these migraines. Your world has changed a lot, from corporate America to working with energy healing and radical things like distance healing, and, you know, doubling yourself and being both in North Carolina and Australia working on somebody. What was it like to make that transition?
Oh, that transition was amazing. So I'm, you know, my background is almost in technical engineering. It's in technical writing, but it has a programming base. It's very, very left brain. I really got tricked into it. I was in graduate school at NC State doing a master's in education, because I was teaching special ed at that time. And I wasn't able to make enough money teaching to really pay for graduate school, to pay for the books, to pay for life on my little teaching salary. And so I went to the dean of the English department, because I'm a strong writer, and I said, what else do you have? Like, where else can I go with this? And he said, we've got this very, very wonderful advanced degree in technical communication. And I said, boy, that sounds horribly boring. Is it fun? Is it creative? And he said, yes, absolutely. And it's not. Yeah, he was like, you can do graphic design. And yes, that is true. And I did do graphic design. I actually ended up in instructional design where I was doing videos and writing technical manuals. But anyway, that's how I arrived in corporate America. And the transition was this amazing lesson. And I kind of mean the amazing lesson in the one, like the ones that come with anguish and like inner boxing gloves and a box of tissues, like a really big box of tissues. And, I don't want to take you through my whole like history of energy medicine and how like my formal education in that, but over about 5 years, I really, really shifted and changed where my internal compass was taking me and pointing me. And I was working with a counselor, and she's now one of my coaches. And I said to her, Sharon, I feel like I'm wasting my time. And honestly, when I go back in this story, this is that like it always chokes me up a little bit, because in that moment, I was hearing myself say those words, I'm wasting my time. And I was also hearing all of the family dinners with my parents, and my father was in the funeral business, and we would say every night, so Dad, who died today? And he would tell us this amazing story of either old age or accident. And those dinners made me realize on a deep level how precious our time is on earth, and something really shifted in me when I said, Sharon, I'm wasting my time. So what I did was I had in that moment resolved that this is not my path, and I wanted to create something different for myself, but I didn't know what it was. All I knew was I had an undercurrent of something that was growing in me, that was driving me forward, that was taking me in a different direction. And I just honored that feeling. But I started making these little prayer bundles, and I would fill a piece of linen with tobacco and sometimes an herb if I was called to do that. And I would tie it up with a little piece of red string, and I would hold it, and I would say a prayer into the bundle. I would pray for courage, or I would pray for strength or clarity. I would pray for the path to come to me. I would pray to be co-creative in the process, to be honest with myself. And I would hang each of those little prayer bundles in a tree in our yard, and then let Mother Earth take the prayer and work with the prayer and carry it through the coming seasons. And I did that for 108 days. And wow. 108 is one of those sacred numbers in our universal design. And on the 108th day, I left corporate America. And it wasn't always easy. I thought of my corporate America job. I was looking at it through those 108 days, and I saw it as like this golden ball with this golden chain that I was dragging around, because it was easy for me there. I had left IBM. I was working at a wonderful company in our area. I was flying on the corporate jet. There were big parties. I had a great team. I had stability. I even had a fun job, but it wasn't my work. It wasn't the work for me. And I kept returning to that feeling of wasting my time. And what it translated into was the knowing that I was out of alignment with my calling. Not really knowing what that was. It was just that offness, that out of alignment, that little piece, that little knowing that I was intended to do something different.
And I think you and I have talked about this in the past, and you mentioned, you don't have to mention the name of where you worked, but you mentioned that when you left, they were like, Amelia, no one's ever left. Yeah. It was like this.
Yeah, my boss had been there 29 years, and he said that in his 29 years, no one had left that team. Because it was an amazing team. And I said, yeah, well, you know, I've just got other plans for myself.
Wow.
Oh, that took a lot of guts.
And so now what do you do now? Like just real quick, how would you say your days or week, like what is it that you're doing with your time, and like, what's your practice now?
So I have an amazing practice it's an energy medicine practice, but it has a few different aspects to it. I work in Durham. You know, my physical office is in Durham, North Carolina, and there I see clients one-on-one, you know, for hands-on energy healing. But I'm also an intuitive, which I've, you know, I knew that when I was little because I would know things. And I have a strong palette of spiritual or intuitive gifts. So I have a blend of an intuitive practice, hands-on healing. I also teach through the Healing Touch program. That's an energy medicine curricular program that was given to the world or given to the consciousness by a nurse in the 1980s, and it actually has 2 national accreditations, which is tremendous. It's accredited through the American Nursing Credentialing Centers, so nurses can come to it for advanced practice or for their CEs. But it's also credentialed through the NCAA, not the basketball, but like the National Commission for Certifying Agencies, and that's the highest certification you can get if you're a non-nurse, just a layperson. So I can walk into any medical community with these certifications behind me, and they recognize me as a professional in energy medicine. So cool. I go to the hospital. One of the things nearest, dearest to my heart is surgical work. I've been trained in energy medicine and surgery. And I actually walk with my clients through the surgical process. And I teach and I mentor. I love mentoring. I mentor healers of different modalities, and I do intuitive work with them to help them identify more of what they are in their healing art and help them kind of bring out more into their practice. And so that's like the basic part of my practice. I work long distance. I work in the office. I travel. I teach. So I really transformed my life, I guess.
Totally. And do you have any words of inspiration for someone who might be in a similar situation, working the grind and not feeling like they're doing what they came here to do?
Well, I tell you, I'm a Taurus. Okay, so I'm a Taurus. I'm slow moving. I'm sturdy. I was born at 4:44 in the morning. Like, I'm so awesome. Fixed. And I've got this very, very practical side of me. I've got the whimsical side and the intuitive side, but I am also very, very practical. And I would say, first and foremost, find yourself a mentor. Find your rocks, like both in your people, in people form, and also in nature. Find the places that restore you. Because I think that this journey takes support. And I would also invite people to find the prayers that you want to deepen through, or the affirmations that you want to deepen through, and do the self work to go in and dust off the cobwebs and get connected to yourself. I think it probably took me 3 years to quit my job, because I started much before the 108 days of prayers in recognizing more of myself, in unpeeling those layers to help me understand the gifts of and my sensitivities. So I think getting support, finding your team. And I think there's another aspect of that support that's really interesting. I think that when we're in every part of our human journey, that we need someone to hold the light, hold our own light for us when we don't see it, when we're in those places of self-doubt. And I would say establishing a strong grounding practice for yourself, you know, something that's going to bring you into the center, but also extending that grounded nature deep down in the lower chakras and connecting into your physical body. You know, having a meditation practice is such a wonderful way to gain access to the inner and cosmic wisdoms that support us, but drawing it down deep into the vibration of those lower chakras and the physical body, it literally slows the energy of those dreams and wishes down so that it's easier to manifest.
awesome.
Hero.
Yeah. So this is like, I like to call it like the care and nurturing of light beings and cosmic creatures 101.
Yeah.
How to get into your body, right? Like, get grounded, get connected, get rooted. And from there, all those dreams that are so out of touch become real, become physical, become manifest. And I hear you saying, you know, it's just start now and start getting into that role of who you want to be. And there will be a time when that's the next step to take, to step into that role fully.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, trusting the pull, trusting that desire, trusting, tracking the ebbs and the flows, trusting the feelings of offness that arrive as an indication that something in your life is out of alignment. I think, you know, dropping that need to make all the changes at one time, I think that helps us feel safer in this process. And there's always that one moment. This is like one of my, probably one of my greatest pieces of like personal advice. There's that one moment where you walk out and everything changes in that moment. And I would say when you hit that moment, be prepared to take a vacation and celebrate it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
What are you supposed to do to like save up that extra bit of money? Because you know what's coming, but the world doesn't yet, and you haven't put that declaration out in the lowest vibration form of action. And when you get there, it's like, I just remember standing like I had walked off a cliff. And what met me on the other side of that cliff was an amazing vacation. And I got to... Yeah, I went to the Caribbean and I looked at that crystal clear, blue, transparent water, you know, that the water that hides no secrets. And I learned from it. I learned from the sea fan that like gets blown by the tide. And I took an opportunity to look around and savor that moment of change. And then when I got back, you know, all the fear just set right back in, but I had that moment of restoration and grounded and a grounding opportunity to really help me propel forward and get clear.
Mm, yeah.
I love that you say that you're talking about bringing things into lower vibrations, because so often I think people associate like lower vibrations with somehow being bad. But saying like slow down these dreams, make them accessible. Slow the tape down so you can hear what's being said.
Exactly. And, you know, leveraging the studies of quantum or subtle physics, you look at, okay, by the way, I'm a closet physics geek. But anyway, if you look at the vibration, the frequencies of the different chakras, you'll see that the more earthbound, the more dense chakras, the lower ones, they're closest to physical form. So to, you know, even from that physics perspective, we literally have to begin to allow our energy system to slow down and translate our wishes, dreams, heart's desires, our power, our feelings, all down into that physical plane of reality.
Amazing.
And that's manifesting. You know, manifesting requires that we do our internal work so that we can create an energy that's externally focused that creates itself, you know. So that's one way we can create. There's other ways, but that, you know, it does require us to do that internal work first.
Yes.
Yeah. So... both of your parents are kind of unusual, and you grew up around a funeral home. And not only that, that funeral home has been in your family for 250 years at least. And your mother played a multitude of instruments. I think you said 24, including the harp. And she bred and sold rhododendrons. It's just such an interesting childhood experience. And I love this quote about your experience with your family's funeral home. You say, just as many children Dad occasionally picked me up from school and took us over to his office so that he could finish up something at the end of the day. There I saw a tremendous amount of people who were not alive, and I compared them to us, those of us who were very much alive. I looked into what the difference was and created a lifelong inquiry into understanding those things that define our aliveness and our spirit. So where are you with that inquiry right now?
Yeah, I did have a really magical childhood. And I got taught the lessons of creating and recreating your life and making choices. And then, yeah, you know, literally seeing all of the outfits hung up on coat hangers, you know, on the rack of clothes with people's names on them, or watching the people kind of go by in their caskets. Like, that was part of my day-to-day reality. And that inquiry, I think that inquiry into our aliveness, it's still deepening in me. I think that's part of my daily practice, is to kind of weave that inquiry into my day-to-day. And I know as well as I could say what I know, that our aliveness is precious, and that we weave our aliveness, as we weave that preciousness, that life into our day-to-day, it becomes sacred act. You know, that just by virtue of breathing into a moment, we are breathing into the sacred mystery of our own existence here on life. And one of the areas that I'm in concert with right now is I'm studying the cosmological beginnings. You know, like, how did we begin through the creator spirit's intent in and through the universal wisdoms and also the cosmic wisdoms of our own becoming? So I'm a closet Kabbalist, and I've been studying the tree of life for years and years now. And I probably, you know, it takes a million lifetimes likely to really, that's why I don't say I'm a Kabbalist, because I don't think I'll ever really know the depth of those teachings. But I've been studying it through a really specific inquiry, and that is, how do we evolve through this lightning path? And specifically, what's the implication of what's the implication of our own potential of healing through all of the gates or phases or pathways in that tree of life? And so this is where that inquiry is coming in now. I'm studying life. I'm studying how life evolves. How do our healing potentials evolve? How does our healing potential, how is that written in these sacred teachings? And I'm also in an interfaith seminary program right now, and I'm trying to better understand how some of the world religions arrive at the gateways of these same pathways and understandings. I'm really trying to gain a stronger vocabulary in the traditional teachings in relationship to how our healing potential. And I'm such a baby in this inquiry, and I just feel like I've arrived in another one of those places in my life that I've gotten on the river, and I'm seeing where the river is going to take me. But I can feel that this is an important extension of that early inquiry. What does it mean to be alive? What is this thing called the human spirit?
So, Amelia, from the lens of your own experience and your own perception, how do you experience spirit working through and speaking to you? Maybe this is in your mind or your body, or, you know, one of the many parts that we have that wouldn't be included in the traditional 3D perception of a human.
Oh, yeah. I loved this question. And I loved it because, as much as I feel guided by spirit, I had never actually thought about, you know, really given some quiet, purposeful thought to the vehicle that I am, the container that I am, and how that container functions in my work. I think it's always just come. So this was really an opportunity for me to go deeper with myself. And it was really a joyful experience. So I just took some minutes and I asked. And so I think what arrived for me was that I think that it's the way spirit works through me is different depending on how I'm in relationship with the questions that are coming. If I'm working with a client, I sometimes get pictures or images. Sometimes I get a spoken lesson. Sometimes I get that inner knowing. Sometimes it comes through a sight, like literally a color or a shape of the energy in front of me. Sometimes if it's a physical issue, I'll go and I'll be able to see straight away right into the body to see what I know. It's incredible. And really and truly, I think if I'm in a client setting, it depends on the gifts of the person who I'm working with, because I can almost see that if I just track those relationships a little bit, you know, working with so-and-so in my visual aspects or visual gifts are really strong, and I look at their paperwork and I see that they're in, you know, an artist, or they do movie production, they use their eyes. It's like, oh, I'm riding the wave of their intelligence through, you know, purposeful attunement. And then I kind of separate myself out. Okay. And then also one of my go-tos is working with the animal spirits, because animals come into my sessions all the time, and they come in droves, and they come really, really clearly. I can almost hear their call if they're birds. I can almost feel them if they're flapping their wings. And they have been visitors that I really rely on to come and be present and teach us in the moment. And they're always invited in benevolent form. And so I almost think of my clinic as like a benevolent zoo at times, because it just really, really crowded in there. But it's always nice too to be able to empower someone with suggesting or offering that they have a spirit helper in that form, because they can call on them, and I teach them to call on them. And of course, like, I'm never, it's more of an invitation. It's not my practice is never way didactic or telling truth or anything like that, but just inviting that wisdom to come through. And then for my own life, like when I do work with myself, or I'm doing my own internal process of connecting with spirit, I actually do something called channeled writing or guided writing. And I just ask a question and I get out of the way and my hand just writes. I mean, I can type a million miles a minute, and I know that it's not my voice coming through, because sometimes there are words I have to look up. Like, spirit is so much smarter than me.
Do you ever do it? If you write physically on a sheet of paper with a pen, do you ever do it with your non-dominant hand?
No, but this is, I don't do it with my dominant hand, non-dominant hand, because my left hand is just a miserable writer. It's so good at other things, but it's so terrible at writing.
Yeah.
But when I do channeled or guided writing with clients, because sometimes I'm called to do that. Sometimes it's like, I just know, Amelia, sit down, get a pen, start writing. And when I do that with clients, my handwriting changes, and I can't tell you how many times I have shown people the piece of paper I've written on, and they say, oh, this might make me cry. That's my mother's handwriting. That's my grandmother's handwriting. Wow. That's, you know, because it is not mine, and it just comes straight away through. And I'm not a medium. I don't want to do that work. I don't want to connect with people who are on the other side. It's just not where I'm comfortable working. But guided writing, if somebody wants to come through and give a message that way, I feel comfortable with that. It's like, gives me enough separation that I feel like I can keep the integrity of my relationship with my own body without being kind of taken over by the other side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's an area where I think is pretty cool. I channeled a dog the other day, which was really funny because a woman had a question about how her dog was feeling. So I wrote the message, and at the very end, he said, "By the way, tell her I really like, I love chicken."
Funny.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
It was so funny. And she was like, "You know, I was just thinking of getting him a rotisserie chicken." I said, "Yeah, he'd like that."
Oh my gosh.
Wow, what a lucky pup.
Yeah, his name was Nacho, which I thought was just, the dog was adorable. So
yeah,
so a lot of ways. That's the answer. Tons
so
of ways.
Cute. That's so
cool. I love
That's amazing. It's so cool to hear that you're experiencing reflections of your clients, and makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think it helps me to help them deeper, you know, because I better understand their giftedness.
It's like a true example of how we really are all connected when that stuff just comes through. And it's like, yeah, you can see this in them, and they can, you know, it's like we can just tune in and know that connection. It doesn't just have to be something we think is true. It's like, no, you feel this and experience this, mm-hmm. and that's that power and that beauty that comes through in that.
Yeah, and I would just add that in those moments too, when I'm deeply attuned with someone, that's by permission, you know, because they've come to me to be in contract with me in that way. But I don't go through the grocery store or the world in that same sort of connection. I think it's inspiring to know that we are all connected deeply, and we can mirror and mirror for each other different aspects and dimensions of our beingness. But I just did want to clarify that when I am in those moments, it's because there's a contract that's been established and asked for. It probably doesn't need to be said, but I try to operate with a really, really strong ethical code in this work, because there's been times when people haven't worked with me in that code, and it's felt really uncomfortable to me. Yeah. And so I just wanted to offer that also.
Perfect.
And I love that you offer us the perspective of, for instance, like going through the grocery store and you're not reaching out into other people's experiences, and also saying that you prefer not to be a medium in any way except for channeled writing, because you want to keep the integrity of your relationship with your own body. I think that's a neat concept to introduce, especially when we're talking about folks who are, you know, maybe they call themselves light beings. I don't know. I don't want to give anyone names, but folks with a lot of spirit working on coming into their bodies and developing and grounding relationships with our bodies. That's a great consideration to keep in mind.
Well, yeah. I mean, there are so many spiritual beings available to us in so many dimensions. You know, I really believe we operate on many, many dimensions at the same time. And we're here on Earth to learn something. And if we just roll over and allow spirit to work through us without discernment, then I don't think we're doing justice to our own earth lessons. Because we, you know, we're all, that kind of gets also into like some tricky energies, and there's some energies that look good, but they're not good. And so whenever I'm in sort of a channeling kind of space, you know, guided or getting information, one of the things I like to do is ask a lot of questions. Is this for now? Is this for me to know? Is this good for this person in this lifetime? Is this good? You know, so I get really clear about the information that's coming in and through me, so that it's very, very relevant to what we're working in that moment.
Safer. Really great insight.
Yeah. And I think that's part of my ethical constitution in this work, because, I mean, I had somebody the other day, this was Saturday, she told me straight up, "Your sister's a bitch," because she channeled it. And I said, "No, she's not. She's not at all that way." And she was getting some information that wasn't resonant with my experience. And she was telling me my truth. And I don't do that. And I think that we need to have conversations about that. for people who are doing this work, because it is, it's an invitation. It's not a telling. And there's a differential. And we need, you know, as practitioners, we really need to honor and investigate what that power differential does. People come to us in a vulnerable place, and we need to meet them there and be really, really careful, because this information's, it's powerful. And I don't know, we're not God. We're recipients of God, you know?
Yeah.
We're walking spirit. We're walking reflection of God. So anyway, that's my soapbox. You just got me on my soapbox.
I love it. And I love it. The spirit of dialogue and the spirit of asking questions, you know? It sounds to me, these are the kinds of things that I really appreciate learning from my teachers and from my mentors. And I want to know, are those things you learned from teachers and mentors? And you know, are there other things that you've learned from teachers and mentors who have helped you grow on this journey?
Oh, man, I wouldn't be anywhere without my mentors. I wouldn't be in. I mean, they are my tribe. They are part of my family. They have supported me when weird stuff has happened, scary stuff has happened. They've celebrated with me when miraculous things have happened. They keep me grounded in the ever-creating and co-creating consciousness shifts that are happening in our world today. Like, I really feel like people who are doing this work right now, we're working at the cusp of a very, very active time. And we're, you know, we're walking a really, really interesting line in supporting some pretty amazing shifts that are going on in the planet. And I guess in any era or decade, that's been the case, but there just seems to be a ramping up right now. But my very first mentor is Sally, whose, you know, birthday is today. And she was the one that worked with me with my migraines. She was also a nurse for over 20 years. And I'm not a nurse. I don't have a nursing background. So she helped me understand the anatomy and the physiology. She helped me understand disease processes. She described tissues to me and helped me practice feeling them energetically. So she helped me really understand the body as a container for spirit. And then I have another mentor who is incredibly well known in the field of energy medicine. I've worked with her for years, just really, really closely, like kind of apprenticed under her. And she's a seer, so she can see in the body, she can see colors, she can see disease, she can see into past lives. She can see, and she's helping me to see in those ways. And my mentors too, they've guided me in the ethics. And you know, like I was saying, I'm a really big fan of good manners in this work.
Yeah.
You know, I really think this work allows someone to go deeper and kind of glimpse into their own sacred realities, whether that be in their body or whether that be in the spiritual aspects. I think both are important, but all healing is self-healing. And there are no truths for my clients unless they are true for my client. You know, I don't push information or energy. It's always an invitation. And I would say that I have a whole team of mentors in other areas of energy medicine. People I can reach out to for sound information, for physics, for energy anatomy. I also work with this really cool group. I call them my Wisdom Council, and it's a group of healers from all over the world. And we meet once a month. We kind of consult with each other either about cases that we're working on. Of course, we don't give names or anything like that, but you know, we consult about what we're seeing in our practices, in terms of what the collective consciousness is doing. And for me, it's just so important for me to have a strong group of intuitives and healers to support me in supporting the process of these shifts. And, you know, it's also part of my self-care is to get together with these wonderful individuals and share what's going on in my life, and having somebody say, oh, you know what, let me just set a platonic solid in your liver so you can keep processing that information. And so they'll help work with me in the same ways I work with other people. So I love mentorship. I love doing it, and I love learning from my mentors too.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Gotta have your team, you know. I just don't think we were intended to be alone in this world.
And, exactly.
You know, you look at the work of Brené Brown, who talks about our, you know, intrinsic deep need to be connected to the world and each other, and how that connection serves us in being healthy. And it's like, that's what I see in mentoring, is just a deepening in that connection and sharing.
And I like also, it sounds like you had a journey of finding these people just one step at a time. I think sometimes when people are starting out on this journey, it can feel daunting and lonely. You know, where is my pack? Where's my tribe? Where's my team? But it seems that you have continued to take steady action towards learning and growing in these ways. And that old adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears, has come through for you.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. And just being mindful of the little choices and going one small step at a time. Yeah, I think it's important. And I haven't yet had what I'm doing with my study of the Kabbalah right now, in that inquiry. Like, it's always, for me, it's just an inquiry, and I have no idea or expectation about where that inquiry is going to take me. And so when we tap into the limitless possibility of what these moments can teach us, they just track us different places. And yeah, it can be a little bit sometimes like you're in a pinball machine, kind of stuck between two like loud, you know, ringy things. And then something shifts and you get, you know, you start moving again. So it's just trusting, I think, the process as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, I'm looking for, or I'm that student. I'm like, where's my teacher? I have so many teachers, but there's one, I feel like there's one coming, and I'm really excited about it. So I'm just going to put that out there. I'm feeling that juicy connection.
That teacher.
And that desire. Yeah, that desire. I mean, that desire for connection is so real, and we talk about this sometimes on these interviews, is like, that's what fueled this podcast, is like, we want to connect with the people who are our kin and who get it, who speak this language and who feel these feelings, that language of feeling and intuition. And so that connection is real. And anyone who's listening, who's feeling that need for connection, invite your mentor in your heart in this moment and let that show up for you.
Yeah. And that mentoring, you know, there's a reason why I call it mentoring rather than teaching. That, you know, there's a reason why I would rather be a mentor than a teacher, because I feel like that languaging of teacher is more unidirectional, like imparting knowledge, and mentoring feels like we're co-creating the process together. You know, we're ebbing and flowing together. You know, that's part of my practice. Mentoring is like one of the absolute my favorite things to do, because I don't know what the end is going to look like with somebody. We just explore it. Yeah.
Awesome. Amelia, now you're mentoring others. How does that feel, and what are you learning?
Well, I mentioned that mentoring is really near and dear to my heart. And let me like to tell you how and why that came up for me as an important part of my practice. It's not just that I value so much the mentors in my life, but it kind of goes back to that idea of how we hold the light for others when they're not able to hold the light for themselves, or they're working through something. And I'm working on a book project right now, which, you know, don't get your hopes up. It's going to take a million more years. But the theme, like one of the sub themes of that book, is about how we hold the light for each other. Who is holding the light for you when you need support? Is it a friend? Is it a parent? Is it an animal? And I think that that's the root of that co-creative process that underlies mentoring for me. And I remember this moment when I was in my dad's funeral home, and my dad was working with these two older women, and they were sisters, and they were adorable. They were dressed a little bit the same, and they were so sad. This story always makes me cry, because they were in the throes of that deep, unreconcilable grief. And my dad came between the two of them, and he put both of his hands on the backside of each one of their hearts. And he looked at them and he said, honeys, I can't take this away, but I am going to get you through today. I'm going to get you through this. And I choke up every time I remember that story, because it was the first time I learned that lesson of how we hold each other up, and how we need each other, and how we support one another. And mentoring is exactly that for me. That's the energy that I come from, that energy of caring at the heart-to-heart level, and that support that underlies that process of watching someone learn more about their own healing potential, about their own life's work, about their own soul and spirit essence, about their own journey. And I'm actually working on my first formal mentoring group class for next February, and I'm doing some writing. You know, we're doing energy methods for the self and other people. We're going to do intuitive gift reading and dredging, and a little bit of that cosmological, Kabbalistic pathway sort of stuff. And that, I see mentoring is about the container. It's about holding that container to allow someone to feel safe and go really, really deeply in with their own inner experience. And that's, you know, that's the journey I had in this healing work. Those little choices of going deeper and tracking like a little hound on the scent, and going through different terrain and landscapes and just following it where it led me. But I've been really called by spirit to create a more formal container. So that's one of the areas that I'm working on upcoming.
I love how you put that, tracking the scent like a hound.
Like a
that's
hound.
So, that's yeah. Exactly how I would describe traveling, journeying with in my own realms. That's awesome. Thanks for that metaphor.
Yeah, sure. Nose to the dirt, you know?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. So we are going to have a whole nother conversation about you and your work with elementals and nature spirits. But wrapping up, just to kind of give a teaser to our listeners, how are nature and nature spirits and elementals a part of your work?
Oh my God, this is another area of my life that just completely jazzes me up. So I grew up on a farm. So, you know, my mom had to grow and breed all those hybrid rhododendrons somewhere. So I grew up on this rhododendron nursery. And I would go out as a little kid and go into nature. So I would see dead people and see death. And I would go out into nature and these flowers, and I would see life. And out there, I would have the most magical childhood. I would talk to the trees and the stones and the river. And that what I found was, you know, as I got older and returned to some of those stories from a different perspective is that I started studying the elements because those are the essential and core forces or energies that underlie the stability of our planet and also our the cosmos. And I don't really work specifically with the Chinese system of the elements or the native system of the elements, but I have actually have my own system that I work with, and it starts with starlight. And I find starlight to be the energy of our preconception. It takes us all the way back to that moment that we were in our star form, and it can allow us to tap into our highest truth. And so I use elements like wood and metal and fire, water, air, earth, ether. I use stone. I use starlight, light, sound, and I use them in the tissues. I use them to support change in people's temperaments, or if they're working through psychological sort of patterns, I can help support through these elements. And I love it because each one has its own wisdom. And because we as people are made of earth and cosmos, these energies reach into like the very deepest place of our beingness. And like, just to give you a couple examples, a couple weeks ago, I was working in a surgical story with a client, and I was using water, the water elemental or the angel of water, to irrigate some tissues, you know, clean them out and soothing a lot of the inflammation. And then I used starlight in the scar tissues because I wanted to bring the sacred geometry of those tissues back into alignment with its highest truthful form, which is imbued in the starlight. And I was working with a lady that has CRPS, which is a chronic pain syndrome that kind of moves around the body. And we use stone, a real breathable type of stone, to stabilize the skin tissue so that they could breathe and be supported and strengthen themselves and fortify themselves and cool down that, you know, like the fiery nervous system kind of energy. I use air if I want to help somebody move ideas into the real. You can use air like still air or windy air, air that moves or air that stays. You can use fire to, I use fire a lot for tissue repair, unless it's like inflamed, because you don't want to add too much fire if you've got inflammation, because it just heats the heat. So I use these elements in really, really, really specific ways. And they are so phenomenal. Like, and you don't have to use them for physical things. That we have a chakra, like the 13th chakra. It's deep, deep, deep in the center of the heart, the physical heart. And you can put, I love to put a little starlight in the middle of that 13th chakra in the center of the heart to connect someone to their own deepest truth, to their highest truth, which, you know, sometimes we need reconnecting with that. And I don't know, there's a million different ways that we can explore them and learn about them, and they all have their own personalities. And so I love the elementals and the elements.
I can't wait to have a conversation with you about this again.
Yeah, I could maybe lead you guys through a meditation and allow you to kind of feel into some of them, because they just, you can embody their personalities and learn from them. So,
wow.
I actually just made, so a year ago I was sitting on my hammock looking at the lake, which we live across from a lake, and the sunlight sparkles on water started talking to me, and I was like, oh, cool. So I started writing it down. They're like, here's this meditation I want you to make. And I was like, okay. And so then I went and filmed the sparkles on the water, and I finally, a year later, made it last week. And it's this, it's like taking the sparkles, the sunlight sparkles on water, into your body and into the dark places and letting it sparkle it out and transmute that energy. And I was just like,
you're right there.
You're
right there, because the water too is so purifying. So you're bringing in like a real high heat, masculine, active sun, and then using the water to irrigate and cleanse. Like, you're right on it. I'm kind of wondering if these elementals are not something that are making themselves more present to us right now as a
I think so. Like, I think so.
I think we're tracking something that's really cool.
Definitely. And you know, in our work, just in our podcast work of connecting with people, there's been a lot of expressed interest in people wanting to know more about them. And it's really cool. It's cool to see people waking up and admitting that, like, yeah, I sense something there and I want to know more, and just getting excited. Cause I feel like all of these elementals we're meant to be connected with them. Like, we're living this life on this planet together and we have so much to give each other. And it's like, let's play together and create together. And yeah. So I can't wait. We've got a nice teaser here to let get people excited together about your next interview.
That's great. I can't wait. Just book up with me.
Cool.
I'm ready. I had so much fun with you girls today. And I really appreciate the time. You guys are both wonderful. And I appreciate the container that you're holding for the evolution of these conscious conversations to get put out and seeded out there in the ether, if you will, in the air.
Totally. Thank you
so much for being willing to, you know, bring your story. We're so grateful to our listeners and to our guests for bringing their truth and being brave enough to speak it.
Oh, thanks, girls. Anytime.
Amelia, where can people go to find out more about you and about how they can either work with you or learn from you or whatever it is they want to know about you?
Oh, thanks for asking. So I would just direct people to my website, which is ameliavogler.com.
And how do you spell that?
They should be able to. Oh, okay. It's Amelia, A-M-E-L-I-A, V as in Virginia, O-G-L-E-R.com.
Great.
And we'll link to that in the show notes. So that'll be up on our website.
Yeah, I welcome communication from everybody. I love questions. So please know I'm available and happy to support in any way that I can.
Thanks. Awesome.
Thank you so much, Amelia. This has been really lovely.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. And we look forward to having another conversation soon about elementals. Yay.
Woo-hoo. Thank you, girls.
Thank you so much for listening. You can show your gratitude and help others find these conversations by subscribing and leaving a review on iTunes or whatever app you're listening through.
Leaving a review will help us grow this network of Earth lovers and intuitive-minded folks. You can also help us share these conversations by liking our Dream Freedom Beauty page and sharing your favorite episode on Facebook. For exclusive content and rewards, support us on Patreon.
Thank you so much, and until next time, many blessings.
Hello, beautiful listeners. This is Natalie here, and I want to invite you to our next manifesting challenge. The first one was a huge success. It was a lot of fun, and so many people had so many breakthroughs and realizations about what they really want in life. This next challenge will be focusing on clarity. We'll be focusing on helping you get really clear about what you really want. I found that people were thinking they wanted one thing, only to realize that that's what they thought they should want, or that's what other people had expected from them, when in reality they actually wanted something totally different, and they could finally admit this to themselves. And so in this challenge, I will help guide you through this process, and we will use a daily dose of gratitude as the sort of magic carpet to keep you in that flow of possibility and magic. I am so, so, so grateful for everyone who signed up and showed up for this first challenge that we just finished.
And I'm mostly grateful for the amazing transformations you were willing to make in your life. I tell everyone my ulterior motive here is that I just want everyone to be able to let go of their crap so they can get into doing what they really love to do and we can all play and party together. Like, that's so fun. Yes, we still have to take care of our everyday lives, but you can do that in a way that's fun and free and beautiful. And that's what we're doing here. We're getting you set up by getting you really focused and clear on what that means for you. And I want to read some things that people had to say about this first challenge. Dominique from Los Angeles says, spending 30 days with Natalie and her process was a huge gift that I see as the catalyst for the change and growth I was begging the universe for. The fire she has for helping others is a reflection of her own personal journey to become her best self, and that is more inspiring than any advice anybody could ever preach. I'm so grateful for her willingness to show up and share what she's learned in such an elegant, accessible, and sufficient way. Thank you, Dominique. You are a gem, and it was such a pleasure to have you in this challenge. Thank you. Brunhild from France says, I've been thrilled to read Natalie's words every day. Her insights and her generosity in sharing tools and supporting me helped clarify my deep purpose and understand the steps I can take to manifest my soul desires in this life. I now have a clear map of actions and reflections in my possession, and I am sure going to use it. Thank you. Well, I thank you, Brunhild, and it was such a pleasure to get to know you and to see your amazing, amazing spirit and earth-inspired art, and I'm so excited for where you're going to take that in the world. So, to all the rest of you who are feeling a pull to do this, if you're feeling that yes, check in right now. Just check in your gut feelings and say, does it feel like excited and yes, and like it wants to expand? Or does it feel like a shut down, compressed no? And trust that. If it's a yes for you, get on over to dreamfreedombeauty.com/manifest and sign up. And if you're not feeling it, you're not feeling it. That's cool. So I welcome you and I look forward to seeing you. And, you know, it's so much fun to manifest with each other, and I really want to help grow a community of people, of like-minded folks who are on this journey together. So if you have a friend who you think would really benefit from and enjoy this challenge, go ahead and ask them if they want to be your accountability buddy on this, and if you want to take the journey together. So we're going to start in September, and I'll send you all the information. Just sign up, and I'll be in touch. Thank you, and I'm so grateful, and I look forward to hearing from every single one of you who signs up and says yes.